So, hello everybody, and welcome to our Myosh webinars. This month, as you all are aware, I'm quite sure, we are celebrating International Women's Month. And I am thrilled to have you all joining us today as we embark on a journey of exploration and discussion surrounding diversity, inclusion, and workplace safety. Today, we have a really unique opportunity to dive into the experiences of 88 remarkable women from, I think it's 19 different countries who came together in Antarctica, highlighting the significance of fostering inclusivity in the most challenging environments, as I'm sure you can understand. Annette Gray is with me today, and she will share their stories and will uncover the transformative power of belonging and supportive networks in driving success and well-being for women in the workplace. Throughout this session, we'll engage in meaningful conversations with Annette, and we'll explore how we can create psychologically safe workplaces where every voice is heard and valued more, importantly. Just a bit of housekeeping. We will be recording today's session and sending it out to everybody afterwards. So, if we have any other further information or if there's anything else that you want to know about, please reach out and we can send it all along with the recording today. We really, really, really encourage you all to be as involved in as much as possible and ask all the questions you have, whether that be in the Q&A function or the chat box. Both open and ready to take your questions. So we'll be throwing to that throughout the whole webinar today. But without further ado, let's dive into our discussion and uncover the keys to building a more inclusive and safe workplace, not just for women, but for all of us. Over to you, Annette.
So you probably want to know a little bit about who I am.
Yes. Definitely. Please let everybody know who is the fabulous Annette Gray.
Thank you. Well, my key focus in the work I do is I help people, leaders, develop coaching and mentoring skills. And I do this in the construction and education sectors. And my goal is about helping to build the confidence of women and all people, really, to have a voice and be prepared to be able to move into leadership positions. But it actually takes their immediate manager or immediate leader to actually help them grow and develop. And what I've found is not a lot of people know how to do that, or they don't place any importance of it. So what I like to do is develop the coaching and mentoring skills of leaders so that they can actually grow and develop people. But in terms of Antarctica, I got to go to Antarctica because I'm a leadership coach on with this program called Homeward Bound Projects. And what their charter is developing women are in STEM around the world, and it's a year-long leadership initiative. And I've been involved in the pro bono way, so I don't get paid for it, as a leadership coach for the last 8 years. And I was lucky enough to go to Antarctica because the last part of this leadership initiative is going to Antarctica on a 3-week voyage to learn more about and putting into place their knowledge around leadership, well-being, visibility, and climate action. And so it was an amazing experience. And that's what I want to share, some of those things that we learned on the ship that wasn't on my radar, and of really what are the challenges that women across STEM and then broader than that are facing within their industries. And particularly these women who were 88 women from 19 countries who were experiencing some common themes. And so that's what I wanted to share, some of that with your audience today.
Amazing. We can't wait to dive into it all with you. Annette and I have been chatting offline quite a bit, and I know last week when we were chatting, we were like, we should have just hit record on this. That this would have been perfect because we were just speedballing all these different things and our experiences and our thoughts. And it was just like, oh God, we need to talk about this. So here we are. Now, I'm going to kick off with our first question for you, Annette. Can you share some examples from your experience in Antarctica that sort of highlight the importance of diversity and inclusion?
Sure. So when you look at it from the face level, or whatever word we call it, there were 88 women. Yet, yes, they're all women. That's what we all had in common. However, when you delve deeper, there was so much diversity in those 88 women. And the diversity was from age to start with. They were from 25 to 76, all stages of their career. For some of them, they're in different levels within organizations, government departments. Some work for the United Nations. So they had different levels of power in the different roles that they were in. They were from different countries. So some were, we had someone from Kenya who was sponsored to go on the on the ship. There was someone from South Africa. There was a whole lot from different South American countries. There were Europeans. There was Chinese. There was from people from the UK. So there's all these layers of diversity, that you could see, not just being women. And so what I realized from it, we did this exercise over a number of days of how do you create an inclusive environment? So because we had to have 19 days together, which meant we had no time on our own because it was a research ship. It was a science research ship. So there were no bells and whistles like other cruise ship. It was very,
yeah, very basic. Yeah.
And we had to share cabins with two people. So half the ship I was with one person and half the voyage I was with another person.
And that's a huge obstacle in itself, isn't it? It's like you're taking out of your comfort zone of your own home and people that you know and that you're comfortable with and thrown into this situation, and that just overcoming that in itself is a huge step.
Exactly, exactly. So, you know, particularly for the more introverted on the boat, you know, like they need alone time. So we had to set up these group norms of what were we all going to pay attention to so that everyone could feel included and feel like their needs are being met.
Supported and just at a basic level. Yeah.
Like they belong.
Yeah.
Because the other cut of how you could look at how the women were, where they were from, this voyage had a combination of cohorts. So because of COVID, there were no voyages during that time. Mm. So the group that were called Homeward Bound 5, so they went through the leadership program in 2020, and then you had a group that went through in 21 and 22. So it was the combinations of those three cohorts went on the ship. Then you had people like me who were considered an invited guest. So we had five of us that weren't part of any cohort. We were either a leadership coach, there were two of us, but then there were just friends of friends, you know, who went as well. So it was easy to have cliques, you know, that all the Homeward Bound five people kept together, or the seven, or the invited guests. And what we wanted was an environment that there were no cliques, yeah, and that people felt like they were part of the whole group. And so this workaround,
that's not easy, is it, at all? Cliques, it's just it's like a basic human thing to just to merge into a clique and to find your comfort blanket, essentially. I guess you start with it when you're a baby, like my little toddler, she's got her little bubba and it's her little bunny with a pacifier on it. And you just think, gosh, that's her world and that's her safety blanket. Like that's what you would have anywhere you go. At your workplace, you find your one person, don't you? So it's important to exactly. not have that throughout your whole life. You need to step out of that comfort zone, don't you?
Yeah, exactly. So what one of the things that was done before the ship was one of the participants created And I only realized yesterday from a friend that I was talking to, they were basically Pokemon cards. And the Pokemon, like it was the same template as a Pokemon card. And it had a picture of each participant, what their strengths were, where were they located, what was their role, what was their work role, all on this card. So what we all had these deck of cards that we could go, right, who am I going to go and meet? Because basically the way the program worked, half the day was workshops and half the day was going on zodiacs and going touring around and then going on land. And so we got to see Antarctica. So part of it was work time and part of it was, you know, free time. But we also had lunch, breakfast, lunch, and dinner time to actually meet people. So what do with these cards, go, right, I haven't met this person yet. I'm going to go and say, can I sit with you and find out about you? And so that was like a really nice tool to be able to go, okay, where are they from? What are they about? What's their role? So you could know a bit about them before you sat down and had a meal with them. So that was one way of feeling included and getting comfort zone rather than just hanging with the people that you knew. And that was a real level up, that, you know, being able to have those group norms about no cliques. But the other was around language, because we had 19 countries, and the most people came from Australia because it's Australian-based business, homeward bound. And 32 out of the 88 were from Australia. So it was very easy to fall into, Australian slang, you know, like getting our ducks in a row. Like other countries were like, what's that? So the language norm was around, if you don't understand something, raise your hand, or if there's, you know, in group, you know, language, someone put their hand up and go, hang on a sec, I don't think everyone's going to understand that. So can we please explain what ducks in a row means, you know? Because we fall into that pattern because we don't
So
think
easily.
other.
And I guess in the flip side of that, though, it's hard when you're in the majority, it's hard to be aware of what those cliques might be and what they might experience as different. So something like this and dropping the cliqueness at the start, sorry, for a lack of a better word, eliminates the feeling of worry or doubt or are they going to judge me if I ask this question? Because those like they'll be able to put their hand up and say, "What the hell are you bloody talking about? Like, I don't know what you mean." And it wouldn't be abnormal for that because it's understood from the beginning that we're all here to get to know each other and we want to know what you feel and you want to know what we feel. So at work, that's incredible. And I feel like that's something we could all especially take away from today is try that at your workplace. Like, let's try and eliminate the clique nature. I feel like that's something, like we were saying before, it's inherent, like we all do it. And it's something, once you're aware of it, you can start working on it day by day and making it a little bit easier and a little bit less common.
Yeah, exactly. And the other norm was around spaces. So what that was about was we needed a space where people could do quiet, reflective work, whatever, you know, read a book, write a journal in their journal or whatever. So we actually created this lounge area, this section that no one's allowed to talk in there. That's where you can go to have quiet time
Need that at my
because
home.
yeah. And so these things that were put in place to help people feel like they belonged, but also feel like they could feel safe to be who they are and not feel like they're being an intrusion to others. And I think the final thing was around power. A third, it was the program was divided up into thirds. So the first part of it was led by the facilitators, the faculty. And the middle part of the program was participant led. So it was tapping into the expertise of all the participants. So because our world is changing so rapidly, we have to have leaders who are comfortable in what's called emergence. And we, because you think of what's happening around climate change, there's no rule book on how to actually help impact that. So it takes people working things out collaboratively on how we're going to address it because there's no rule book. Yeah. So this middle part of the program was really about each morning we had to put on a post-it note, what is it time for? What is it we need to focus on today? Because there was no agenda, but
Wow.
we were creating it together of what is it time for? What do we need today? And maybe it's we need a down day. We need a rest day, no workshop time, no sessions, nothing, because we're all exhausted or we're all seasick or
Well, you
we're.
can't plan how you're going to feel, can you? And that's something that's so important to take into the workplace is you could schedule a meeting or you could schedule this webinar for today and I could wake up crook as a crook, or I could wake up mentally like I have no energy. I cannot do this today. And you need to have the capacity to be able to say to your leaders and to your workmates, I just can't today. I just need a breath. Like I just need to take five. And it's so important to be able to take something like that simple post-it note into the workplace and turn it into something that makes people feel supported.
Yeah. So what ended up happening is each day there was six representatives of the 88 women who then looked at all the post-it notes and went, well, what are the common themes here people are wanting? And then we'll create the program based on what people are saying they want. So one aspect was around how is tourism being handled in Antarctica? That's going to actually support it being kept as a pristine place to visit. Because more and more people, tourists, are going there and we don't want it wrecked.
No.
So 100,000 people went to Antarctica last year. So we're all curious around who's looking after Antarctica. And
Yeah.
what we found is there was a scientist on the ship who is part of this group called IOTA, who are a collaborative representation for many countries who actually look after Antarctica. And they create the rules for tour operators of what they can and can't do going to Antarctica. And so what that sparked in me was, gosh, because no one owns Antarctica,
No.
no one owns it. So it's the only real place in the world that it's a true collaboration
Yeah.
of how we're going to make it work.
Yeah.
And I just thought that
It's
was
special, isn't it?
really special. Yes. Yeah.
And it's something that we could take onto ourselves, like in our own family. How are we going to collaborate? How can we just talk, take it back to a basic level? Let's work on what we all need. And again, in the workplace, like it's those key fundamental basic things that we just need to go back to baseline, and let's build from there.
Sure.
Now let's get a few of our guests involved. I'm going to put up a poll now and let me just do that. All right. So our first poll question is, on a scale of 1 to 5, how inclusive do you feel your current workplace is? So we've got 1 being not at all and 5 being extremely inclusive. So if you want to have a go at answering those, and then once you've answered, if you want to pop into the chat box or into the Q&A section and let us know what your workplace is doing, or not doing, rather. Are you happy with how things are going? If things that they are doing are working well, let us know what they are. Like, we're really excited to hear what you all have to say. I'll let few more people answer those. It's looking good though. So far, most of the majority is very inclusive, which is amazing.
Well, I'd be really curious, and if they would put it in the chat, what's one thing that's working to help that be very inclusive? Yeah, I'd really love to know.
Yeah, that's 50%. Very inclusive. I love that. I know, speaking on from at in Myosh, it was something that I noticed from the very first day in our very first staff meeting, was how included our directors made us all feel. They rarely make a decision without throwing it out to the staff first, or throwing it out to each department that's involved in the decision that's about to be made. And I just thought to myself, gosh, you guys are the boss. Like, just isn't this just do it? You guys just make the decision and tell us what to do. But it's the complete opposite. They're so inclusive in the sense that they want to know we're the front line essentially, and they want to make it work well for us. So that was one of the green flags that I saw as soon as I started working. I was like, oh God, I think I'm done here. I think this will be it.
And what difference does it make to you, Christina, by being included in that decision making?
To be honest, it eliminates, well, to start with, I won't lie, I had intense imposter syndrome thinking, gosh, why are they asking me this? Like, I shouldn't be included in these sorts of decisions. But it sort of eliminates that, and it sort of helps you to realize, no, your opinion is worthwhile hearing, or you're valued. And it just makes you feel included and supported, and it gives you the courage to continue to ask the questions and to continue to ask. It's sort of set up a non-hierarchy within the company, where we all just feel on par with each other. Obviously we're not, but the feeling is there that we are, and I think that's what makes everyone so excited and just genuinely happy to work here. And it's something that I've rarely experienced in other workplaces. So it's really, really, really lovely. We've got some answers here. So somebody has said, a small company with directors that are involved on a daily basis. And that's so similar to what I was just saying. And another lady has written, Jane, thank you, has written diversity and inclusion committee. Wow, well, that's exciting that they've actually got that, isn't it? Mm. Amazing. Well, thank you, guys. I will stop that poll now. Now, let's go on to our next question. How do you think the concept of belonging contributes to women's success and well-being in the workplace, and particularly in a male-dominated field? Because 9 times out of 10, that's what they are.
Yeah, exactly. I think it's not just a female thing. I think and a women thing. I think it's everyone feeling like they belong, and I think it's really important. I can give you an example of just someone I coached this morning.
Oh, that's good timing.
Her topic was around, you know, she's started working at this place and she's been there 8 months. And a senior person who she's meant to be working closely with basically just ignores her and being really quite rude to her, not wanting to have any conversations with her at all. And she
like
feels
gaslighting her.
Yes, that's the exact word I was going to say. And I said to her, I said, this is what it feels like. And she said, I don't feel safe. I don't feel safe going to work. I do not feel like sharing my views. I have tried everything to build a relationship with this senior person, and he sits right next to her and he will not include her. He's not developing her. He's and whenever she gets any feedback, it's wrong, wrong, wrong when he puts a red pen through something that she's shown him. And so she's not feeling like she fits or belongs in this context. And she's not the only one there. But this behavior by this senior person, no one's dealing with. Yeah. So no one actually, everyone's ignoring this behavior of this person because it's not collaborative. It's not inclusive. She's not feeling safe.
Yeah.
And feels like she's treading on eggshells the whole time when wanting to get his input. And so that's an example where she can't contribute her best.
I was going to say she will never succeed there because she doesn't feel valued or supported or worth
No,
anything.
exactly. And her immediate manager is aware of the issue because she's raised it with him and he's doing nothing about it. So we were working, getting really clear of what she was wanting so that she could have the conversation, firstly in confidence with a HR person, and then helping that HR person develop a plan for how they're going to resolve it. Because this is not just her issue. This is the behavior of this leader who does it to
I
everyone.
was going to say, and at all, what's the saying? The fish rots from the head. So, as to put it bluntly, it's not going to get better unless you get to the actual problem. And it's exactly the same as your health, not necessarily just your physical health, but your mental health as well. If you're not dealing with the actual root of the cause, it's never going to get better. It's just going to be a band-aid fix. And so her coming to you and asking for support and feeling supported enough in you as essentially a third party HR person is going to give her the support and the brave, not bravery, we shouldn't have to be brave to go to work, but the support and the courage and the strength to know that she is worthy, she is valued, she is supported, and look at different ways to be able to work with her workplace. And it would be so much harder as well, because in this day and age, it's working. We don't all work because we love it. We work because most of the time we have to. And it's such a expensive life these days. And it's so hard to find work. So it's so important to, when you go to work, to feel like you're actually doing something that you're enjoying, or as a baseline, not feeling terrible. And for her to be feeling that way is just, it's not okay. And we need to know what we can do to get everybody to feel supported, and little things that we can do to help us every day to get better.
And I think it's a common theme that I see across organizations when someone is not behaving in a respectful, collaborative, inclusive way, and if they're in a senior role, often it gets overlooked, it gets ignored. It's, oh, it's just them. But the ripple effect across the whole culture is huge because of the way that person interacts. And what I see often is no one does anything about it. And it's everyone has to adapt to that person rather than
Which enables them.
her direct manager and HR work together as a team to come up with a plan of how they're going to actually help that leader adapt their behavior, you know? And it's not just this person, this poor woman's, you know, not her having to change. There might be something that she needs to change, but this is having a broader impact. And what I see time and time again, and it seems like it's an Australian thing, that we avoid having the difficult conversations. And that senior person is, they've got to be called to account that that's not okay to interact in that way, that they need to actually interact in a more constructive way, but often they don't know how to do it,
I was
you
going to
know.
say that was going to be my next question to you, and to hopefully help anybody that's listening. What practical strategies, or can you elaborate on anything further of what you've seen implemented that works, or what you would suggest that would work to help instances like this, but also inclusivity and to promote diversity in workplaces to help people, and like I said, not just women, but help everyone feel supported. What would be some things and practical things that you would suggest?
I think firstly, so if I use this scenario created, when she's already gone to her immediate manager, And he said he would say something to this guy, but no changes happen. How do you actually follow through and take responsibility if someone comes to you and says, this is what I'm experiencing? Hear it, understand it, listen. And you, it may be something that they, the immediate manager, can do with this particular woman would be coach her for with strategies of how to handle this person, this senior person. That could be one. If nothing changes there, what are we going to do? What's the plan for helping the behavior to change in how this senior person interacts? So it may be around, we're going to work on it together, the manager and the senior person together, until that behavior changes. Because just telling someone they need to be different, change doesn't happen from that. Otherwise, we'd have a world full of fit and healthy people if it was to eat properly and exercise. Change is hard. So it takes a series of conversations to be held accountable to do something different.
I think something that I'm learning as I'm getting older is it's so important for leadership roles and people in leadership roles to understand their staff on a more psychological level and to understand the way in which people are wired and the way that they work. And because I mean, I might like, and it all comes down to the whole love language thing and how you like to be treated and how you receive feedback. And some people might receive feedback in terms of, in the way of like words of affirmation or telling you that, oh my God, you did an amazing job on this. Thank you so much. Whereas another person might go, oh God, a pay rise would have been nice. Like, but they could be told all the right things in the world, but all they see is a financial thing. You know what I mean? So as a leader, it would be important to understand, or try to at least understand, how your staff are wired and how they work and what motivates them and how they are driven, so that then potentially she could then go to her HR manager and go, right, I know how he works. I'm going to say to him, can you please do X, Y, and Z when it comes to working with your client? And perhaps she could say as well, when you are working with your manager, let's try and work it this way. Like, change can happen from both ends, and it needs to be a collaborative approach for things to work. It can't just be one person changing and the other person being scot-free, you know. It needs to come from both ends. And I think it's so important to understand how everybody works to make it work, essentially.
I think so. And I think you've touched on a few things there that I think every leader, anyone who's a people leader, needs to know the people they're leading. Mm-hmm. And they need to know them holistically, you know, of what are they juggling at home?
Exactly.
What is it they need in terms of flexibility?
Yeah.
Having these regular, weekly, only needs to be 15-minute conversations.
Check-in.
But
yep.
Need to have these check-ins.
Mm-hmm.
So if her immediate manager had been having regular check-ins with her, he would have realized she's not in a good place. It's not safe. She can't get her work done to a high degree because of this blocker that this guy is making for her.
And it's going back to what you guys experienced on the ship, the post-it notes.
Yeah.
This is what I'm feeling today. Here is my post-it note for the day. And sure enough, there's going to be a common theme of post-it notes going, oh, mate, Barry, I can't do it anymore. Like, yeah, so it's hard, and I think it's going to be an everlasting uphill battle, but I think the more people fight for it and the more people learn and are open-minded to learn new ways of working with other people, it's only going to get easier. And I think we're in a world now where we're so easily able to access different information. I mean, I was only listening to a podcast on the weekend, and it was all about perception versus perspective, and the normal person doesn't really understand the difference. But when it was explained in a really simplistic way, it was perception is what you see is what somebody from the outside sees you doing, and then perspective is what you see yourself doing. You're essentially doing the exact same object, but one person sees it differently to what you are seeing in yourself. And it's that matter of going, well, hang on, are they visioning what I'm seeing, or are they visioning something else? And it's a completely different thing, but we're both watching the same thing. You know what I mean? So it's like, you've got to understand that not everybody sees things the way you do, and not everybody sees things the way that they do. And yeah, once we understand that, I think it's going to open the floodgates to work more seamlessly together.
I think what you're touching on here is another way of describing it, is what is the story I'm telling myself?
Exactly. Yep.
And there's multiple realities.
Exactly.
Yeah? So as her immediate manager, it's around, let me hear what is going on here. Mm. But they have to take action.
Exactly.
Stop. And because
the old action.
What we ignore, we are then creating that's okay in this culture.
And you're creating the norm. You're creating a clique. You're creating all the things that, like, it's the generational thing. And until you change something, nothing's going to change. So, and I think if that's something we can all take away from today is, if nothing changes, nothing changes. Like, we need to make change, and we need to speak up for ourselves. We need to feel supported when we do that. Otherwise, it's just going to be a spiral effect of negativity and low self-esteem, and just not feeling worthwhile and not feeling worthy or valued or supported. And it's just not okay. We're not in a world anymore where we have to be in the kitchen, or we have to just stay at home and raise kids. If that's your choice, that's incredible. And I envy that you're able to do that. But if not, let's feel supported no matter what our choices are, you know? I'm going to throw to another poll now so you can all get involved again. So let me do this one. What is your organization doing to encourage diversity, guys? So if you want to pop in a little short answer, and let us know what you guys are doing in your workplace to encourage diversity and support, and how are you feeling it's working? Let us know. I think our audience are being very shy.
So maybe while they're thinking about their response, I can share something as a result of going to Antarctica and what.
Yeah, I love it.
That's a really good support network that any organisation can do. And so 88 of us are on a WhatsApp group.
Oh, I love this.
We had this WhatsApp group before we went to Antarctica, but we've also got it afterwards. And a few weeks ago, one of the women put up on the WhatsApp, "Hey, sisters," because we call ourselves Homeward Bound Sisters. She said, "Hey, sisters, I'm sitting in my hotel room. I've been to a conference today and I was presenting my PhD results. And I had some person in the audience stand up and say, I don't agree with your research. I don't agree with your findings. It's all wrong." And she felt incredibly humiliated. And she was in her hotel room after day one of the conference in tears, going, I don't feel like going back the next day. What would you suggest I do? As everyone woke up, because there was 24 hours of comments that went into the WhatsApp group, going, beautiful comments of compliments of her amazing qualities, because she's pretty amazing. She'd be late 20s, early 30s, I think, doing a PhD, but also written 17 science fiction books. So she's incredible at what she can juggle.
And one person.
Yeah. All these beautiful comments about what her qualities were and everything, suggestions of what she could do. And she ended up going back the next day because she had this incredible strength that came from the support of the group. And so she went back the next day, and that night she was invited on the dignitaries' table at the dinner conference.
Imagine if she didn't go back. Imagine if
But
she didn't have your support or that whole group. She
yes,
would have just been
I
spiraling in her own thoughts of negativity and not being worthy or not being able to be like standing up in front of everybody. And look at all the accolades she's got in the background. And then it's just taken one person to bring her down to not value herself or understand that she is important and she does need to be there. And it just you're nailing it on the head that everybody needs to be supported, and to have that support network is just so important, isn't it?
exactly who you can trust
Yeah.
and have your back. I think that's the key. The other upside of the story is she got invited onto a board
Oh,
because
I
of the
love it.
reason. So if she didn't have that support, she wouldn't have gone back, and then
No.
she would miss out on both those opportunities. So it really highlighted to me, if we're serious around diversity, we need these support networks. The formal avenues don't work, like your immediate manager or HR, but you still need this other support that could be on top of, that.
Exactly, and uplifting and just giving you the courage that you know that you have, and it's just bringing it out of you again. And because I mean, it takes one person to stifle that, doesn't it? And you full well know exactly what you're doing. You've written 17 bloody books, like you know what you're doing. But it's that one person that puts that tiny little bit of negativity in your mind, and you think, gosh, are they right? It's that age-old adage, you will always find the time to write negative feedback, won't you? But nobody writes, like hardly anybody writes anything positive these days for a company. I could go to lunch and say, oh, that was the best lunch I've ever had, but I would never tell anybody. Well, I'm the opposite. I overshare everything. But I like when it comes to that sort of thing, so many people, you're always seeing people criticize other people or bring people down behind a keyboard or in person, even. And you just, it's not okay. We need to make sure that if you're having a down day or if you're not feeling your best because of something someone else has done, like it's just not on anymore, is it? Like you just need to be kind always, because you never know what someone's going through personally or at work. Like it's so important to just be mindful and open-minded and be aware of your surroundings and just stop for a minute before you reply to people or stop for a minute before you speak. Just so I need to learn that lesson, actually. I speak too much. Anyway, one of the ways that an organization of our listeners encourages diversity is a weekly Friday team lunch. And I love that because I remember some of my workplaces I've been at, we used to do a Friday work lunch. And you'd end up talking to people that you don't usually see in the office, or because you're always running around doing all the things. So I really love that. That's awesome. All right. So I am cautious of our time. I will go back to our last question for the day. And I just really want to know, looking ahead, Annette, what do you envision as the most significant steps an organization can sort of take that will create lasting change and progress to a more inclusive and psychologically safe workplace?
I think for me, there's two things. I think for me, it's, well, if we think about our world leaders, we don't have really good role models of what good leadership looks like. And I think what we can do is if we help everyone, particularly, aspiring leaders, but also leaders who are in positions of having, learning how to listen. And being open and be curious and be interested in what you're hearing. And not go down the path of, I know what's best for others. So that's one, knowing how to listen and be judgmental from what you're hearing. I think the second is, how do you learn to collaborate and help everyone learn to collaborate? Because when we listen, we're more likely to hear other people's points of view that may be different to what's been the norm in the organization. And so we want everyone to feel like they have a voice to actually impact change, impact culture, so that we can, everyone can do their best work. And that happens through conversations.
I have a experience of that in this workplace, for example, and I'm sure they won't mind me saying this because we talk about it now all the time. But within a department at work here, we've got, it's fairly new, and two of our staff members in the same role, they learn very differently. They work differently, but they're in the exact same role. And it's not, and it wasn't until a couple of weeks or even a few months in that it sort of clicked. And I was like, okay, this person, we need to not say, do this, do this, do this, do this at the same time, because it's not how they work. It's not how they're wired. It's not what they do. The other person, you can say that to, because that is how they're wired. That is how they work. And it's not until you stop and listen and you visualize and you see and you take into effect exactly what's happening around you and you open your mind that there are different ways and there's different processes that all end up on the same result, that you can start to learn and figure out, okay, let's work best with, let's work with these people rather than against one. And they have to sort of conform to what is usually the norm. Whereas now we're like, we're all working in sync. We're all getting the same result. We're all doing the same things, but it's all being done completely differently. And it's now that we're all open to that prospect and to that process that we can do things differently as long as we're getting the same result. We are working so well together, and it's just, and you know what it came down to? A conversation. It was on Teams, and I said, hey, can we have a chat? We had a chat, and it was so confronting, and it was so, I was so nervous to have this chat because I was like, what's going on? Like, what's happening? Talk to me. How are you feeling? Like, are you okay? Like, let's go through some things. And it wasn't until he explained exactly how he's feeling and what works best for him that I was like, oh, this is so refreshing, because now I understand where you're coming from. I know how to not get on your nerves, or I know how not to upset you by asking you to do something that you're going to get to, but you just don't do it straight when I do it. You know what I mean? And so now that we've had that hard conversation, like, I bloody love working with you. Like, it's so good and it's so supportive and it's so collaborative now, and everybody's on the same page, and it's just a wonderful experience. And I think it's so important, going back to what you said, it's so important to make the tiny change of listening. Listen to listen. Don't listen to respond. And I am learning that daily, because I, as I'm sure you can all tell, suffer from ADHD. Well, I don't suffer. I have ADHD, and I am starting to finally put that into my life as a superpower and use it to my advantage. However, I need to learn to listen more, and I need to learn to listen to listen and not listen to respond and jump in, because I'm going to lose the thought. And in doing that, I'm hearing so much more and I'm learning so much more. And and it's so incredibly uplifting and so incredibly educational, rather than just trying to keep up with the conversation. You're actually being in the conversation. And I think it's so important. Like you said, the significant steps would be to listen and to learn and to be open-minded.
And I think you've hit on a few things of what you've described there. Is you were open to hear your colleague's perspective and you didn't judge it. Yeah. And then it was then a resolution of how do we work best going forward based on knowing that information.
Yeah.
And I think so, other significant steps is help leaders be the coach. Yeah, and help them get help, help their people have the space to share where they're at with work, what's working, what are they going to focus on this week. So that regular check-in, you don't have to tell, just ask, and people will shine, they'll step up and take responsibility. So
Exactly.
those interactions, those micro interactions, are what's going to be really helpful in creating these environments where people feel like they're heard, they're included, and they're treated with respect. You know,
Exactly.
that's all we want, to create environments where everyone flourishes. And I think also on top of that, each of us need to seek out a mentor. And it mightn't be your immediate manager, it might be someone else who's on the team, who's got a skill that you don't have that you can learn from, that can mentor you. It may be having someone who's a master of your craft, so you can actually find out what is it that they do that you can learn off. Again, mightn't be your immediate manager.
Not at
And
all.
thirdly, it might be, you know, I need someone to be a sounding board, because here's my take on what's going on. It mightn't be accurate. What do you think I should do? You know, so someone who's got your back. And I think the last one is around, we all need a sponsor. So if we're going to create these inclusive and diverse workplaces, we need to be able to sponsor people when they're not in the room, raise the awareness of that skill or that ability of that
Just
person.
champion your colleagues.
Exactly.
Yeah. It's yeah, I had something that you just went through and I was like, that's exactly right. Oh, that's what I was gonna say. It's not necessarily the support from the one person. So you can't expect to get everything from the one person. And it's like I learned a little what like a long time ago with my husband. I can't expect him to be my best friend, my husband, my the best father. I can't expect him to be my person I go to vent all my work information to. I can't expect him to be everything for every one of my issues. And that's where the whole concept of a support network comes in. You need to realize that you can't go to your manager for friendship advice. You can't go to your HR person for like work advice, etc. Like specifically, you need to be aware that there needs to be different people for different aspects of your life and make it a holistic support network rather than just expecting it from the one person. And I think the more people we have in our network and championing us, the better off we'll all be.
I think you're exactly right. And sometimes I do this exercise when I'm developing leaders to become more coach-like. It's called a personal board of directors.
Oh, I
Who
love it.
would get a seat at your table that would be your personal board of directors that helps you inside of work and outside of work
Yeah.
be?
I'm gonna write that
And
down.
often for people, there's seven or eight people who help
Yeah.
them. Yeah.
That's perfect. I think that's a perfect way to end. If anybody has any questions or anything like that, please feel free to email either myself or Annette. I know that I've only known Annette for a short period of time. However, I know that she would be more than happy to answer anybody's questions or be there to support anybody. And I'm the same. If you want to chat at all, my inbox is always open. And I know that I got so much from today's conversation, but I hope you all did as well. And we'll be sending out the recording after this, as well as a few bits and bobs of information about Annette and her trip to Antarctica and a little bit about Myosh as well, if you're not aware. So thank you, Annette. This has been amazing. I love chatting with you and I'm excited to see what our next discussion is going to be about.
Awesome. Thanks for the opportunity, Christine. I really
No
enjoyed that.
worries. Have a wonderful week, everybody, from wherever you're watching, and we'll catch up with you soon. Bye.